20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not in observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Now, so the Pharisees hit him up about, says, now bear in mind, John the Baptist declared, Jesus declared that the kingdom of God is at hand when Jesus came on the scene. And so the Pharisees, bear in mind the Jews at this time also was looking for a military overthrow of the Roman government. They was looking for, when God came, they was looking for him to set up a physical and overtake the Rome at that time and things, and they was looking for a physical, real kingdom. And when Jesus was preaching, the kingdom of God is cometh, so they asked him a question, when is it coming? Jesus tells them, says, the kingdom cometh not with observation. Now, observation is a medical term that Luke, remember Luke, the writer of the Luke is a physician, and it means to keep an eye on, to watch, like you watch a disease or something to see how. So he's telling us it don't come with observation. You're not going to see it. You're waiting to see it. You're waiting for something to happen to see it here. He says, don't look over here to where one will say, hey, there's a sign over here. Rush over here and see, this could be the kingdom of God. Don't look here because this could be the kingdom of God. And so let me pick up verse 22 and untie all this together. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say in his, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven, shineth under the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. So Jesus then turns to the disciples and goes to telling them some instructions about the kingdom of God and his coming. But what I want to zero in on is verse 21 when he tells the Pharisees, and he's talking to these Pharisees, when he says, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now bear in mind, the Pharisees were not believers in Christ, in Jesus Christ. That's the religious leaders, that's the people. And Jesus is telling them that, hey, it comes from within the kingdom of God. And I done some research about talking about the kingdom of God, because much is said about the kingdom of God. Questions come up about where is the kingdom of God? Are we in the kingdom of God? When do we become in the kingdom of God? When is the kingdom of God coming? And the Bible has a lot to say, and I won't be able to cover all verses pertaining to the kingdom of God. But Jesus is telling them, you must believe first for you to see the kingdom of God. And we must believe by faith. See, the Bible tells us that the moment that we become born again, we're born into what? The kingdom of God. Now, there is going, do not get this confused now. The church is going to be raptured out one day. Okay, the Lord's going to take the saints out. And then there's a lot of events going to be taking place on earth. And then the Lord's going to come back and set his kingdom up here on earth. Okay, that is going to be the earthly kingdom that he sets up here. But as children of God, we are born into the kingdom of God the moment we become born again. Because when I first read that, when you first read it, you think about, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he's talking to these Pharisees. And I'm like, well, he's not talking about them having the kingdom of God within them. But he's trying to tell them it's Christ within us that makes us being born into the kingdom of God. A very common passage of Scripture that we know, if you go to John chapter 3, verse 3, and it's Jesus talking to Nicodemus. And if you'll, let me read that for you. John 3, 3. If you'll, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, being born of water does not mean baptism in that verse. What it's talking about, when you're in a woman's, when you're in the womb of your mother, you're encased in water. That's a flesh. thing. You got to be born of the flesh to be born of the Spirit. That's what he's talking about there. But he says, except you be born of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus is referring this back to what the Pharisees. So it is within us. Now if we go to Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1 verses 14 and 15. If we go there and we see, now after that Jesus was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, are we getting a feel here for what he's trying to tell the Pharisees? The kingdom, some Bible scholars believe that was mistranslated when it said within you. That he meant amongst us. There's a split decision by some Bible scholars on that. But even amongst you, when Jesus being amongst them would not really be the kingdom of God. Because we see here, it says that we are born into the kingdom of God. And Jesus came preaching. So that's where the Pharisees got, because Jesus came preaching about the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So they kept hearing all this. Luke 6:20 says, and he lifted up his eyes on the disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So that tells us it's not in this life we live in, it's not something physical. If we run around looking for the kingdom of God physically, we're in a lot of trouble today, okay? Because it's about, and you know, when you become born again, you're born into the family of God. We're in His kingdom then. And now, what's some characteristics of that? If you think about the peace of God within us. Because when salvation takes place and accept Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, boy, there's a peace that passes all understanding. It fills our what? Soul. And we say this a lot of times. Always remember, this business is about the soul. The soul will spend eternity. It's going to live forever and ever and ever in some place called heaven or hell, based off of the decision that we make to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ or not. But the characteristics of having, of being in the kingdom of God is peace. Being in the kingdom of God is the presence of God on our life. Being in the kingdom of God is having the power of God on our life. Being in the kingdom of God is not walking alone. Being in the kingdom of God. And that's what the Pharisees couldn't see. Now, let me run a few more scriptures on this for us. And I'll try to be hasty along through this so we can move on. But I just want to share and get the point across. Because sometimes, Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the kingdom of God and healing every sickness and every disease among men. Luke chapter 1, verses 31 and 33. Luke 1, 33. All right, verse 30. And behold, ye shall conceive in your womb. Now this is the angel speaking to Mary here. And bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, when we are born into this kingdom of God, it is an eternal kingdom. It'll never end. Now, if you know anything about history, if you know anything about any kingdom, sooner or later there's an overthrow. You look in the history of the world. Anytime there's a kingdom or something, there's always an overthrow. But the Bible tells us that the kingdom that you and I are a part of, that because of our Lord and Savior, and by salvation we're in that kingdom, that it's going to be an eternal kingdom forever and ever and ever. Now, if we also, it talks about kingdom, and there's many passages in the Bible. Let me just get a couple more of these that talks about the kingdom of God. But if we go to the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, Verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, so we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. What's that word? Forever. Amen. So, who is in heaven? Hallelujah. Your kingdom come. So, that's the talking about the coming of the Lord, one day coming. And then if you look right across the page, Matthew chapter 6, it kind of gives us something here to think about. Let's start with verse 31. Therefore, take no thought for saying, what shall we eat? Matthew 6, 31. Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's the lost. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things itself, sufficient unto the evil thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So that seeking, so if we think about what it is to be the kingdom of God, we're born into the kingdom of God, we're a follower of Christ, it falls right in with our Christian walk and our daily walk of what we're all about. And that verse is very misquoted, by the way, a lot of times, ain't it? We mean well, but we misquote that verse a lot, Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added into you. You say, well, what's misquoted about that? Well, if you read what we read in verse 31, it's talking about our needs, not necessarily all our Cadillacs and riches that we want. Okay? The Lord said he'd take care of our needs. And it don't that's not a prosperity scripture there, is it? But the Lord will. And the whole purpose of that passage of scripture is to give our trust to the Lord. We're in the seek him daily. Seek walking in his world and not our world. Walk in his kingdom and not the kingdom of this world. Think about that. That is two separate kingdoms, isn't it? Boy, the world has its own kingdom, don't it? Yes. Rule by who? Well, we know who rules it right now, because the Lord says, hey, I'm going to come down one day and I'm going to shut him down. I'm letting him do whatever he's doing right now. And he's ramping up. Why? Because Satan is out to destroy souls. So it is a battle of two kingdoms. But the Lord here says in the verse, says, but seek first the kingdom of God. And I'm like, well, first the kingdom of God, and everything's going to be all right. The next time we get real fretful, next time we get real toe up, and we have a natural inclination. There's a lot of things to worry about today. Why? But when we look and we see here, Jesus said to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Clothe ourselves with his righteousness. Get instruction in his righteousness. Put on him, not us. Seek his kingdom. Be in his world today, not this world. What's the Bible say? We're not of this world. The old song says that, ain't it? It says we're not of this world, we're just passing through. There's something about stepping into walking in his kingdom that we're already born into, that we're already a member of. We walk in his ways, not the ways of the world. See, the problem is we get too caught up in things of the world. See, and we think, look, now think about this. If we're born in his kingdom, you know what that makes us? A child of the King. God's word says we become his children. We are a child of the Most High King. We're a child of the Creator of the world. We're his child. He's made a way for us. He's made an escape for us out of hell. But he's also made an escape for us out of all the junk of this world. With our faith and trust in him. You say, how you know? Go through a storm and see who's there with you. The hand of the Lord will still be with you in a storm. In a valley. He's with us. He loves us. Because why? But if we get up seeking and seeking his righteousness, and he says, I'll take care of it. Take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take care of the things of itself tomorrow. We shouldn't worry about what life is. Why? We should have our trust in him. Trusting in him, walking with him day by day, every day with what he desires to be. And if we could just get that a lot of times, seeking the Lord in things. Mark chapter 4, the Bible talks about, let me just pick up at verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and some fowls there came and devoured it, and some fell on stony ground, where it was not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, and it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they were about him with the twelve asked him about the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but of them who are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may not see, and not perceive the hearing they may hear, and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sin should be forgiven them. Key thing I don't let you know about it, verse 11, Jesus says, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them who are without, all things are done in parables. The Bible talks about the Spirit of God within one, and the natural man can't discern the things of the Spirit. That's why we talk about a lot of times in here, talking to a lost man in the world. He don't understand it, don't get it. And he won't understand and won't get it till by faith he receives the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. Till by faith. It's all about faith, and that's where the rubber meets the road. Because if a natural man over here don't know Christ, don't understand things of the Bible, we have to remember that as we try to tell the world of Jesus Christ. They're not going to get it. But all God asks is put faith and trust in him to believe in him, and then things are revealed to them. As for now, that's why Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. And you know what? He goes on to say, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Think about that. Jesus even said, it's mysterious, because, hey, there is a physical, literal kingdom the Lord's going to set up one day here on earth. But when we are born, remember once again, we are born into the kingdom of God. So we are a part of the kingdom. But that tells one, that backs up what Jesus was saying when he told the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is within you. Where is the kingdom of God at, Jesus? You keep talking about this kingdom of God. Where is it at? When is it coming? When is it going to take place? You say you're preaching the kingdom of God, and we ain't seen nothing. We ain't seen an overthrow of Rome. We ain't seen a leader. We ain't seen a new king set up. He says it's within you. And he also says, if you don't know me, you're not going to understand it. Just like Paul said.
That is because they've rejected him so many times before. It has to do with that spiritual rejection that the Jews, you know, when he came and, you know, with Abraham and with every time they take him and say, okay, when everything's going good, when something bad's happening, no, this ain't working. We got to go do our own thing.
They continually denied him being the Christ.
Right.
And him being, they was looking for the Messiah, and he was under their nose the whole time, and they continually turned from him. Sounds like the world today a lot, though, don't it? Continually, Christ is doing things and showing things to this world, and continue to move. One last one, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." But in power. So what have we saw here? We've saw that the kingdom of God is never ending; it's eternal. We saw the kingdom of God is you're born into it when you become born again, when you repent and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And now we see the kingdom of God is not in word, but a power. The power of the kingdom of God. And you and I are a part of it. Now, the Pharisees, they had the right idea of looking for a kingdom of God. They was just looking at the wrong place. I think sometimes we beat up on them a lot, because a lot of times church members just like them. You know, we may just like them sometimes. But they still was looking, being so religious, but still couldn't see it. And so Jesus also tells the disciples here, he says after that he turned and spoke to the disciples. And he says, look, there are going to be some that say, you got to beware. Because remember, the kingdom of God, you're in by the kingdom of God when you come born again. But there are going to be some say, look out, there's something happening over here, and this could be God coming to set up his kingdom over here. Or this could be God actually working to do the kingdom of God. And he says, don't go, because that ain't the way it's going to happen. He says, first of all, last verse we read in verse 25 of Luke 17. He says, first of all, remember, he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. He's giving a little prophesying there about what's fixing to happen, ain't he? Yeah, hey, I got to go to the cross. The world, I'm not being accepted by, he's being rejected by Israel is what he's saying. But I got to go to the cross, and all that must take place first. And you know, if we'll think about before I come. Now, if you think about all the teaching of the Apostle Paul, he was still looking for the Lord to come in the rapture. If you read all the teachings and epistles of Apostle Paul, all his teachings, he even up in the time Paul died, he was looking for the coming of the Lord. Now, remember, we have the rapture of the church as one event, and then we have the second coming of Christ. Remember the rapture of the church, the Lord is not physically going to touch down on this earth. Because the Bible says he's going to come, call the saints out, and we're going to meet him in the air with our loved ones, all our relatives and everybody we know that's born again in heaven now, going to come and meet us in the sky, and the Lord's going to call the saints home one day. We're going to go and live with the Lord. But there's coming a day, and when we get over in Luke chapter 17 here in these next few verses, we'll read about events that's going to take place. All these events that's going to be taking place, the rapture will be happening, these events will be going on earth, the tribulation period and the time going on there before the Lord comes back. But he is coming back, and when he comes back the second time, the rapture is not the second coming. The second coming is when the Lord comes back, physically sets up on this earth, steps foot on this earth, and he comes back riding on a horse and kicking some and taking some names, okay? And you know, you heard say he'd come as a lamb first time, he's coming as a lion and a warrior next time. And he's going to set up his kingdom. That's the second coming of the Lord. The rapture is not the second coming of the Lord. That's where the church is taken out. Now, and that's what the Lord's trying to tell them. But they was even looking at this time for a kingdom. And Jesus is trying to set them up and say, hey, I got to go to the cross first and suffer many things before this time comes here. Verse 26, going deep here. Verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down and take it away. And he who is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men, one in the bed, the other shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, and one shall be taken, and the one left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and one shall be left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, whosoever the body is hither, thither, will the eagles be gathered together. Now, that's some deep talking here the Lord has, and it's warnings that he's given. He says, so shall it was in the days of Noah. You know, a scary thing to me is if you read all these characteristics, what's going on, they did eat, they did drink, they be married, they was given in marriage. And then if you look down here, if you read about Lot, they did drink, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. And then, see, that sounds like today, don't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just going to give you a personal sidebar. People say, well, how much worse is things going to get in the world before the Lord comes back? Okay? This is just my theory, personally, okay? I believe the world has to get in bad shape for the Lord to take the church out. Because what happens when the church is taken out? Well, there's this Antichrist, the Bible teaches, that's going to come on the scene. And he's going to have straighten everything out for the first 3.5 years, the Bible teaches. Okay? And then the last 3.5 years, he's going to turn on everybody. But it's going to be a wonderful thing the first 3.5 years. Well, If everything has to be totally messed up for the Antichrist to have something to straighten out.
Yeah.
It has to be all kind of chaos. And that's just my theory on studying this. It has to be all messed up.
You really don't want to see it.
No, it has to be all messed up. So that's why I believe we see so much progression even in the world of confusion and confusion. And you know, if you sit back and think about it, like, man, who can straighten out all this mess? I mean, because it's such a mess in things. Now, that's just my theory of what I understand about God's Word, for what I understand about it, of how, why things, because some say, well, why are things getting so worse? And, of course, the Lord said, it even talks about in Timothy, that it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse,
well,
and things are going
to
get worse.
Imagine how bad it was in the day of Noah that God would want to destroy all of mankind. And it's going to, and the Bible says that it will get back as in the days of Noah. It will get back to that bad or worse before God will do what he, you know, he says he's going to do, is pull the church out and then, you know, let the everything happen the way it's supposed to happen. But, you know, you got to think, we really can't comprehend the days of Noah when every man was turning on every man, and you know, that it was so bad that, you know, God, who gave his only son for us, would turn his back on.
That's a dark hour. That's a dark hour.
So, I mean, you know, what? How bad? I mean, we don't know bad.
No,
There's no way that we can really think that we know bad and it be like what the Bible says.
Because you know why? The presence of God is in the hearts of believers. And you take all them out. Mm-hmm. Woo. Think about it. I mean, you're exactly right on that. But if you think about the times of Lot, the Bible talks about here, and Sodom and Gomorrah. Look what was going on there. And God rained down on it. And so, see, we're there. So there's a timetable, and I'm no end time scholar here, so don't bombard me with 10,000 things. And you know, we all have a lot of questions and things about things like this. But I just in my heart just see, and that's why you even hear Pastor Jimmy say a lot of times, it's not going to get any better. And we're not doom and gloom teaching and preaching when we say that. That's what God's Word teaches. It says men's heart are going to wax worse and worse and worse and more evil and evil and evil. But if you look at the whole picture, you say, yeah, that fits the plan that God has. It fits very well. It's not going to get any better. I'm sorry.
Yeah, nothing you read in the paper should surprise
no.
you.
No. And then whenever we get to the point of we talking about God taking people out, that's why when people say a loving God would not kill nobody, does not know the Word of God. Because all through this Word, God cleaned the clocks of people. His own chosen nation, we talked about that when we studied the book of Exodus. If you go back to the book of Exodus, his own chosen nation that he delivered out of Egypt, when they sinned against him, went against him, buddy, he cleaned 30 and 20,000 of them at one time a lot of times for being disobedient and going against the will of God. God is a jealous God. God is a just God. God is a loving God. But that don't mean it's just a ticket just to go sin and do what we want to do. And there's not going to be repercussions for it, like the liberal world likes to think, of a loving God. And he is a loving God, but you don't mess with this loving God. And I like to put it that way. You don't mess with God. Don't none of us, if and some of us Christians can attest to that, you don't mess with God.
Don't tempt him.
Yeah, that's whatever you want to call it. Well, that's right. And you just don't mess with him. And that needs to be shouted from. That's why we ought to have, the Bible talks about having a fear for God. He's a jealous God. And this world is going to find out one day when he comes back. And these things we just read here about the time that he's coming back and what's going to be happening. He's coming back. Look, think about it. God sent his son blameless here on earth. Why? For sin. Remember, Adam and Eve had it set up wonderful. It was a wonderful place. Paradise, man. I mean, you know, Panama City ain't got nothing on that, okay? Hawaii ain't got nothing on it. It was paradise. No sin, not a thorn. Didn't even have to work. Okay?
There you go.
And it was good. Sin entered in. God saw fit to send his son, Jesus Christ, upon this old sin-sick world. Jesus even went to the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, if there's any other way. Hey, you know, I'm going to tell you, that one, he loved us enough to do it. And don't get me wrong, he loved us so much to do it. But that wasn't something he was just getting up saying, boy, I just can't wait to go do this. We don't have to think about that. You say, how you know that? Because mine was in the garden saying, Father.
He was just as much man as he was.
That's right. Father. So when you think about it, he loved us so much that he endured the cross and the Lord made a way. Now you think a God that created a perfect paradise, gave it to man, sent his son who was blameless, went through all he went through and made a way for us, and then you're just going to go on and reject and trample on that, because see, you're trampling on his son's blood when you do that.
Right.
Now think about it that way. We're trampling on, the world is trampling on some, you know, I don't need no redemption out there. I'll show you. And look, the wrath of God. You don't hear a lot today about the wrath of God. But the wrath of God, there's going to be judgment to come on those who turn.
And
why? Because you rejected my son that I made a way for you. You trampled on the blood. Now, I'm paraphrasing there, Craig Marshall style, but I'm just saying. But he did it because he loved us, okay? And eternally. You know, see, look, we have too much of a feel-good gospel today. We have too much of just a ticket out of hell gospel today. And that stuff is serious business, one soul. You think about our soul within us, and everybody knows that soul within us. It's going to live eternally in heaven or hell. And it's not our Lord and our Savior and God's desire that a man go to hell. He made a way. But look, it's serious business. It ain't smorgasbord. Do it like we want to do it. It ain't what we think. It's what the Word of God says.
It's spiritual warfare, and we're called soldiers.
That's right. It's spiritual warfare. And God is love. He does bless us. He does take care of us. He does wrap his hands around those that's hurting. He does all the above. He supplies our needs. He delivers us in times of storms and all this. But he is still a powerful, holy, righteous, just God, jealous God too. And we need to remember his power and the kingdom that he has and the kingdom to come that he is going to have. It's going to be with power and force that he operates under. And he loves us. And you and I, if you're born again and know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, we are part of that kingdom. We on the winning side. We on the good side. And you know what he's asked us to do? To tell the world. No time to sit down and be muted. No time to look, and we're trying to get muted. If I hear one more person say, when I say the Bible says God said so and so, well, you're not the judge. I'm going to give them a fat lip. Let me tell you what, I ain't judging if God said it, and I'm just saying God said so. Okay, and I'm going to tell you, the church is buying into that bull too. I'm going to tell you better beware of getting drug off and muting what God said by saying you're judging. Look, let me tell you this. If I had a sign around me and I said, I'm a liar. And I went over and I said, Lynn, I'm a liar. See my sign? I'm a liar. And I says, well, God said, thou shalt not lie for starters, and we can go all through here is about lying.
That's right.
Now, if you tell me and you say, well, you're a liar. Yeah, I got a sign on me. I'm a liar. Okay? Follow me with this. If God said homosexuality is a sin, and I'm going around parading it with a flag and a parade saying, I'm homo, and I'm in your face with it, and I say, well, God said that ain't right. I'm not judging you. You judged your own self. Because you got a sign on you that says, I'm homo. All I've told you is, the Bible said, that's what God said. Do you see how we try to get muted? And we don't want to judge nobody. Don't get me wrong. We ain't the judge. But are we judging? Or are we telling what God said?
And what did it say? It's any who add to
or
take away.
What did God say we're to do as children of God?
And that's what we have to do.
What did God say? He says, tell his word, warn, share the gospel, share the word of God. Mm-hmm. But do you see how unpopular? Yeah, there's a hush just come over this room. You see how unpopular that is? You see how unpopular that is? Because, look, and we have to be careful. Don't get me wrong. Nobody need to go ahead judging nobody. But what I'm saying,
hate them because they're that way. You still got to love them.
Ain't nobody said anything about hating them. But if I'm wearing a sign, I'm homo. The Bible God says that ain't right. I am not hating.
When you disagree with somebody in the world, they think you hate.
But you know what that's doing? You know what that's doing? That's getting us to silence the word too. And that's a trick of the devil. I'm telling you, that's a trick of the devil. If it says it,
would
it? And it's in anything.
It
but it ain't only.
Them. when they hear the word, it convicts right. them. Look, they don't want to hear it.
It's not only in that, though. And let's be clear of this. It's all sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you just don't dare. Because it's and that's why the point I'm trying to make is not necessarily on the homosexual issue.
Yeah,
the point I'm trying to make is...
ain't no one sin greater
but,
than
but here's what I'm saying. There's a political correctness in society today that we as Christians dare say what God says about anything. Well, if we shut up, who is going to let people know what God says right. of it? And what did the Lord tell us to do? To tell. We have a commandment to tell them of Jesus Christ and tell them of the gospel and tell them of point out sin. And what's because see why we live inside day when wrong ain't even wrong, and you know the a lot of kids coming on day don't even know what's wrong.
That's right.
As God's standards, if you caught on to that.
Well, they're playing games.
Yeah.
Wrong, that...
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things in society that kids coming on day don't have aware that it's wrong in the sight of God, mm-hmm. because of what society's teaching. And I'm just saying we have to be aware that we don't get hushed and muted, even in the gospel of preaching salvation. But also what God said. Why? What did all the prophets in the Bible do? If you go to Jeremiah and Isaiah and all of them, they warned of sin. They warned of things going on that God did not approve of. Because God don't approve of it, God ain't happy. And God's a judgmental God. So we just have to be careful of that. And look, what I'm saying, don't get sucked in to what society is telling us as children of God. We serve a powerful God. And He gives us strength to be what we ought to be. And to tell Him. And look, don't go out with judgmental. Even people in other sins, things like that, don't ever come off that way. We're not judging that area. But that don't mean to silence about what God. You ever had a brother come to you and say, "Lynn, you know, God, we're not pleased with that." You know, you ever thought of that? You know, I have. You know, and I didn't like it at the time, but I appreciate it now. You know, I don't always like it what the preacher says sometimes. You know, about something. You know, oh, that hurts. You know, but the Holy Spirit works on us. Why? Have that closer walk with God. That's what it's all about. It ain't about beating up on one another. It's about having a closer walk. It'll help us in our walk with God. And it'll help others too. Let us pray.